This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Sam Heifel is going to join us. He was unbelievable. Mm-hmm. I mean, unbelievably great last night for NC State. They knocked off Vanderbilt 1-0. Manny Navarro is coming up here in about 15 minutes to talk about the Miami Hurricane football program because it's part of our two-a-days. It would be the last team we talk about in our last seven shows. And we go out to Omaha, Wes, again. And the one and only Kelsey Riggs, who looks like $1 million to that new hair. She's got there's something going on with the hair. It's just she's just sparkling out there in Omaha, loving life. What's going on, Kels?
I think it's just like the Omaha sunlight, because let me tell you, it has been a long time since I have done anything with my hair. I need to. It's on the to-do list. So I appreciate the morning sunlight that I'm getting here that's faking it for now.
All right. Here. Look, you've had some already spring / summer excursions. So, let's see, you've been to the Caribbean, you've been to Hawaii, and now you've been to Omaha. How you want to stack all that up?
Listen, I mean, I would say that it's probably right up there with my other vacations. You can't really, I guess, count this as a vacation, but I had the opportunity, my first job in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, to come out to Omaha when I was covering Coastal Carolina. I know where your brain's going. You think that I got to come cover the national championship. I didn't. I got to cover the basketball team when they made it here for the first time in 21 years. So I was right across the street at the convention center, just looking at TD Ameritrade Park, thinking like, wow, it'd be so cool to cover the College World Series. I think the baseball team did it the year after I left. So it's really cool to be back.
And I'll tell you what else is cool is watching the ACC get off to a brilliant start. I mean, here's NC State, a feel-good story if there's ever been one. And then we get the big show getting down tonight with Virginia having a chance to join that winner's bracket at 2-0. And Kels, as you well know, man, if you get the 2-0 in this spot, you are in a great, great position to put yourself in there to say, guess what, boys? We're on our way to win a national championship.
I mean, both of these teams just from the start have, you know, since they both came out and got wins, just had the opportunity to really feel like you can control your own destiny. And then NC State last night, now they're not going to play again until Friday, which obviously you feel really good about. And then I know Brian O'Connor would like nothing better than to be in the same spot. Virginia not playing in an elimination game. They got pretty good at it in the regionals and the super regionals and were good when their backs were against the wall. But as we saw in their first game here in Omaha, they're good when their backs aren't against the wall, too. And NC State's a feel-good story, but so is Virginia. To have two teams here from the ACC that are the two unseeded teams that have potential now to be the two teams that go 2-0, I think, you know, I heard you guys talking earlier just about how the city of Omaha really gets behind some of these two teams. And it's pretty cool that it could be NC State and Virginia that, you know, America is really jumping on board with and falling in love with both of these teams and the storylines there.
Kelsey, I heard Kyle Peterson say last night, of course, who's lived in Omaha for many years now, that he thought last night's crowd was one of the top 10 at the new ballpark since it left old Rosenblatt Stadium to come downtown. What was the energy in that building like after Tatum's home run? Because up to that point, it had really been about Jack Leiter and Sam Heifel. But when Tatum hit that home run, it seemed like it just went to another level.
When he hit the home run and then whenever the bat landed finally from the bat flip, I think that was when it was just wild. I mean, Wes, it wasn't even just this game. I couldn't stop talking game one. There's a section of the NC State fans that literally stands the entire game. It doesn't matter whether they're batting. It doesn't matter whether the other team is batting and they're out in the field. I mean, these fans are so excited to be here. And then just for it to be such a good game before that, for that to be the first hit of the game that NC State got against this incredible pitcher and Jack Leiter, the feeling, the atmosphere here was electric. And it stayed that way, too, just because it was such a good old school tight baseball game. These fans are really having a good time.
We could have another one tonight, and Virginia's had great success against the SEC out in Omaha. They've had great success against the Southeastern Conference in this tournament. They eliminated the Gamecocks right there in front of all their fans in Columbia. We know what they did shutting out Tennessee, and you know, everybody talking about the Vols and this great offense. Well, how about a zero for Tennessee? And we'll see if they can survive today. And now tonight, Virginia's got a chance to jump on Mississippi State, who, of course, eliminated Notre Dame. But you get a sense, hey, pitching is ruling with the really, really elite teams. Even though we saw Stanford go nuts yesterday with 20 hits, it kind of feels like we could have another one of those low-scoring, kind of grinded-out Virginia-style games tonight.
Yeah, I definitely think that that's a possibility, Pac. I mean, yesterday it was really all about the pitching, and it'll be fun to see what Griff McGarry is able to do. You know, the story that he has of struggling some during the year, and then the way he's been playing lately, the opportunity that he'll have for Virginia tonight as they take on Mississippi State. I just think it's going to be another fantastic game. There's so many fun storylines with this Virginia team. We all know Loken Michaels and the story about his father. I had the opportunity to talk to his family after the game. I went down there and chatted with all of them and just what it means. I mean, it's his grandmother out here. It's his brother, his sister, his parents, his aunts. And that's just one person. I mean, that's how it is for all of these baseball players. So obviously you love everything that happens on the field and you love the big moments. And, you know, we enjoyed talking about the game that he had and the game that Zach Geloff had and both of them having, you know, three hits for the first time in a College World Series game for a Virginia player, or tying the record for the most hits for a Virginia player. But I think what's really fun about Omaha too, just getting to experience it for the first time, is just how much people, like, this is where the stars are born, right? These are where the stories that maybe haven't been told or haven't been on the biggest stages, they really come out. And these performances make or break people. And for the ACC teams, it's really been a whole lot of making so far.
The biggest Virginia story coming into Omaha did not appear in the Supers and is yet to appear at the College World Series, and that's the closer, Stephen Schock. Kelsey, I'm as curious about if you've been able to pick up any momentum of Schock's PR with seemingly everybody out there in the 3 or 4 days you've been there.
He's a star. Yeah, people immediately see him, recognize him. They're staying in the same hotel as us. And so we've run into the team in passing a couple of times in the lobby or in the elevators. And there is always someone that is talking to Stephen Schock and wanting to tell him about the Dippin' Dots or wanting to talk about Kenny Powers. And I'm not saying that as like, oh, everybody else is doing it. We're all doing it, too. Like, I'm a big Dippin' Dots fan. I had to get on board with it. He is certainly the star that we saw in that interview. That was the main thing that I was curious about was, okay, as soon as we saw it, okay, who is this guy really? And there seems to be obviously, you know, a lot of different levels to him. But every time you see the team, wherever they're going, there's definitely someone that is looking for or noticing Stephen Schock and wanting to have a conversation with him just to find out more about what he's like.
Well, what's been amazing to me is he's got all this notoriety and good for him. But we never saw him in the Super Regionals. I mean, he never pitched. He got as many pitches as I did. And now all of a sudden we get to Omaha, and, you know, Virginia beats up on Tennessee, shuts him out. We haven't seen the big donkey yet. So something tells me, though, that this one tonight, it just feels like a grinder. I mean, again, it's baseball. It could be 15-3 for all I know. But it just kind of feels at some point in time the big man's going to be coming out of the bullpen and America's going to get a chance to see him pitch.
And I know that a lot of people would be excited about that, and he certainly would too, just because, you know, we saw what he did the last time he was out and wanting to finish that game out. And, you know, you've heard his story about he's 24 years old and this is the moment for him. So it's been a fun story to follow. And, you know, I would never complain about another Stephen Schock post-game interview on ESPN after the game or on the ACC Network or wherever we can get it because he's a blast.
All right. So let's go through the Omaha checklist. We've been to the Drover yet?
I heard you guys talking to Jeff earlier, and I knew that this was going to come up and that I was going to have to say that I haven't been there yet. And I was nervous about the reaction. I haven't been yet, you guys, but it sounds – listen, NC State took care of business, so we don't have them playing on Wednesday. If Virginia takes care of business, we won't have them playing on Thursday. So I'm going to have 2 full days to just eat as much steak as I can, to go to the zoo, to go see everything. Whatever you guys tell me to do, I'm there.
back. You want to take over from here?
I am so I got to tell you, Kelsey, and you know I love you, but I am so disappointed with that answer. I mean, because I know Aaron Katzman, the boss's boss, is out there. So I know he's picking up the bill.
The money's not an object.
Right.
Money's not an object.
Right.
Think,
it's not like.
Well,
like,
leave us yesterday, just for the record. So we're on our own. We should have gotten. We should have done that while we had the opportunity.
Right.
We should have.
I think that's a blown opportunity. That is a missed opportunity. But nevertheless,
yeah.
Do us a favor. I mean, hopefully this magical run for the ACC continues into next week for a championship, which would be great. And if it happens to be NC State, Virginia, that is perfecto.
Even better.
But before you leave town, do yourself a favor and get to the Drover just once.
That's what I hear.
If you come back home and that's not checked off the list, that would be a fail. That would be a loss.
Don't come back.
I got an
idea. Come back.
No, come back, but that would be like a Mark Emmert L. Is what that would be. That'd be a big L.
It would. That'd be like Dr. Emmert. I got an idea. I got a quick idea.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
Tell Danny Graves it's part of the ACC Network rookie orientation program since he's the rookie, he's got to buy the dinner pack. He pitched in the big leagues for years. He's got the bread, right?
Yeah.
Danny Graves can handle it. Go Rooney and Graves and go to the Drover and say, hey, you know, Danny, just so you know that when we all started, we all had to pick up tabs too. Even Packer, he picked up a tab.
Right.
You know, hey, rookie. Hey, rookie. Here's how it works, rookie. That's what you tell him.
Yeah. You're a rookie. You got to pick up the tab.
Don't show him this clip. Hopefully he's not watching right now so he doesn't know where this all started. That's a great idea, Wes.
There you go.
That's why I come here. You guys have the great ideas. You tell me where to go. You've got the agenda. And you compliment my hair, so.
Your hair looks great.
Anytime.
Don't let the raccoon get you in the press box. Don't let the raccoon get you.
Y'all, is that not crazy? That I felt like I was born to be in the press box for that moment. Like, I have a lot of experience trapping critters. The guy had a trap that was a lot nicer than, like, me trying to chase a squirrel out of my house with my hands and a screen part of my window, I guess is what it was. But, yeah, I think he's still there. That raccoon has had a barbecue burger. He's had some bologna. He's had a little bit of everything. So,
by the way, not to give this away, but I am going to celebrate the raccoon on T-Shirt Friday. So I'm going to tell you.
Excellent.
Okay.
So I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
To tease for Friday's show.
By the way, we just got confirmation from the big boss. He suggests that Graves pick up the dinner. That'd be a lot better than the budget having to pick up the dinner. So there you have it.
Thank you, Kelsey.
Be well. Stay safe in Omaha. Have a good time. We look forward to the
coverage.
Bye,
you guys. Thanks for having me.
All right. Kelsey Riggs, Danny Graves, Mike Rooney will be with Kelsey tonight following the coverage of Virginia and Mississippi State. All ACC from TD Ameritrade tonight at 11 p.m. Eastern Time. They'll react to Virginia and Mississippi State. Also, some NC State reaction from the win against Vanderbilt. Tonight at 11 right here, ACC Network, streaming live on the ESPN app. Stay tuned. Quickly, we'll pivot to Miami. Manny Navarro covers the Canes for The Athletic. We'll wrap up two-a-days talking about what Manny Diaz and De'Aaron King might have under the hood for us after this.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham, two-a-days continue, and we are heading down to South Florida to talk about the University of Miami. And, Wes, you know, there may not – listen, Clemson's going to get a ton of love. Obviously, the Heels are going to get a bunch of love. We've been talking about a bunch of teams that kind of flying underneath the radar a little bit. But this Miami team may be as interesting a club to keep an eye on, especially with that opener against Alabama.
Yeah, absolutely right. And let's go to South Florida. Manny Navarro covers the Canes for The Athletic. Manny, great to see you. And, you know, now we're to the point where I guess we really need to start thinking about where this whole thing's going to go opening weekend with Alabama and where De'Aaron King's going to be.
Yeah, that's the question, right? It's how's De'Aaron King's knee doing in that recovery? I think so far, all the video I've been watching of him going out to these little camps, around the country where he's been participating. He looks fine to me. He looks like he's ready to go. And when I talked to Manny Diaz a couple of weeks ago, he said, hey, if Alabama wanted to play us right now, 7-on-7, De'Eric would be ready to go. So it's just a matter of getting the pads on once practice starts and then proving that he can cut on that knee and do all the things that are asked of him. But I think right now, Manny's expecting him to start September 4th in Atlanta.
You know, the one thing that jumped out at me, Manny, during the spring game was the quarterback room. I mean, we know De'Eric King is a player. Right? There's nobody going to question that. But I really like the quality of talent that Manny Diaz and his staff have acquired in the quarterback room moving forward up and above what we're going to see in 21.
No question. I think that's really what stood out this spring because you didn't have De'Eric out there. So you had these two freshmen, Tyler Van Dyke and Jake Garcia, running the offense. And you go and you watch those spring highlights. And yeah, nobody's sacking the quarterback. Nobody's hitting the quarterback. But Jake Garcia and Tyler Van Dyke were putting the ball on the money. I mean, they were throwing the ball 40, 50 yards downfield, hitting guys in stride. And, you know, the quarterback position, you talk to all the old-timers at Miami, the Alonzo Highsmiths of the world, the guys who come back to Paradise Camp, which is taking place this Saturday, by the way. But all the old-timers, all the NFL guys, they're saying, look, quarterback is where it starts. We haven't had the kind of quarterbacks at Miami that we've needed to be a true contender. And you saw what the quarterback position did for North Carolina last year, right, with the great turnaround Mac Brown's been doing there. So I think it's the same deal. I think they're finally beginning to recruit at that quarterback position the way that Miami used to recruit at the quarterback position.
Well, the other thing we saw in the spring, too, maybe just in flashes, but the expectation level for Charleston Rambo to be a big part of what they're going to do offensively is certainly there, too, I think.
Yeah, you're talking about a guy that at Oklahoma last year, everybody was expecting, well, he'll be the number one or number two receiver and really didn't have the kind of season he wanted to, which is why he looked for a change of scenery. I think he comes into the perfect situation here. He's got a really, really, I think, elite slot receiver in Mike Harley. He's got Will Mallory, the other tight end in the middle, two guys that are going to get a lot of attention. So I think Charleston Rambo on the outside, he's going to have an opportunity to be the big play guy in this offense with De'Eric King. And I think he's going to shine. There was a stretch in that spring game where he caught four passes in a row where you were just like, wow, this guy's got it. He's got what Miami needs. And ultimately, that's really what hurt him last year. They didn't have a consistent outside threat, and I thought that's what limited them down the stretch.
Manny, how do you read the defensive side? I'm not even going to talk about personnel yet, but I'm talking about from a coaching perspective. No DC. You got three position groups changed. Manny Diaz did not stay status quo with his staff after the 20 season. So what is this going to look like in 21?
Well, I mean, Manny's going to be running the defense. He's going to be calling the plays on game day. I talked to him about that a couple of weeks ago, and basically he told me he doesn't feel like much is going to be different. Yeah, Blake Baker was the guy calling the plays last year, but Manny was very much involved in running the defense and game planning and so forth week to week to week. So he's just going back to his roots, and he really wants to take control of this thing in terms of setting the right attitude week to week with his players. And he has enough confidence with Rhett Lashley handling the offense that he doesn't feel like this is going to become too big of an issue for him, that he'll be able to handle the responsibilities fine and not be sort of sidetracked. He trusts Rhett to handle everything in the offensive room. And so for him, this is just going back to his roots and hopefully having the kind of influence on Miami's defense where they get back to being an elite defense. I think last year we certainly saw in the North Carolina game, especially that linebacker position and how out of position guys were. Manny's always coached linebacker. He's always been involved with that. So I think, he's got his hands and his fingers deep involved this year, and he's hoping for an upgrade.
All right, so are we going to spend most of July, all of August, talking about that side of the ball and just assume the offense with all the production back, the run game looks fairly solid, offensive line's got a lot of familiarity. We're good there, so now it's really going to be the Miami defense leading up to the opener?
Yeah, I think it's what it comes down to. And you, look, you got to replace, a guy, Jalen Phillips, who's a first-round pick. Another one in Quincy Roche out there on the edge. Two of the best, I thought, in the ACC last year. That's going to be another aspect of this whole thing. You know, the one thing Manny has done since he's been here, since 2016, is he's had at least one pass rusher get 8 sacks every season. Mm. So who that guy becomes, we're not sure yet. I think, they pulled in DeAndre Johnson, a kid out of Tennessee, as a transfer that they like a whole lot. They've got some young guys, Jafari Harvey, Cameron Williams, that they're sort of bringing along here. So I think it's about, getting that edge rusher, that consistent star that Manny Diaz seems to have had every year he's been here. developing that guy and then getting the linebackers to play better. And they do feel better about the linebacker position. They really like Corey Flagg, who was a freshman last year. You only saw him in spots. I think he's going to be in the, your starting middle linebacker, kind of like way Shaq Quarterman was. I think they view him exactly the same way. So I think, they're expecting improvement from this defense this year. And it's just a matter of, who steps up and who sort of fills that lead role.
Manny, as far as the schedule goes, I know everybody and their brother's already circled Alabama week one. Fine, great. I mean, you'll find out exactly where you stack up in terms of the big picture with Bama.
Right.
But I think you got to look deeper about Miami's schedule. And there's two parts here. Number one, I would tell you the Appalachian State game is going to be critical. And the reason I say that is, in all likelihood, Miami's going to be a big underdog against Bama. If you lose the game, so be it. Nobody expects you to win. But everybody expects you to win the second one. And I think Miami's mindset is, hey, we're ready to win a championship in the league, at least contend for it, and you want to get off to a good start. So that Appalachian State game to me just kind of sits there, and I know that people won't get excited, but I know how good that program is. And the other thing is the middle part of the schedule, October 16, October 23rd, October 30. To me, that is the guts and lifeblood, if you will, of Miami's season. At North Carolina, NC State, and at Pitt, if you're going to be an ACC factor, those three games are a monster. That is, I mean, that's to the heart of the matter right there, right in the middle of the schedule.
Absolutely. And I would say playing Virginia, I know you got Central Connecticut State or whatever, an FCS team, but you're playing them 5 days later. You know how the body needs time to recover. You hope that you're ready for that Virginia game, because Virginia's been a tough team for Miami in the ACC for many years. They've struggled to beat them. So, yeah, I think you hit it on the head. It's the middle of that season. It's those back-to-back games at North Carolina, back home against a very good NC State team that, that was a heck of a ball game last year between Miami and NC State up there in Raleigh. So I think you hit it on the head. I think that's the guts of this season. And if Miami's able to get through that, then I feel really good about where Manny Diaz and this program are going to be. I think they've got a chance to get to the ACC championship game and potentially give Clemson a pretty good fight.
Interesting, too, that the coastal questions are there, whether it be Carolina, Miami, whoever else is going to emerge here. But we get these early season games. I want to go back here to the schedule, to the point Pack was talking about. It's not just the games that fall in that order. It's the coastal games that fall in that order, Manny. When you throw Virginia in ahead of Carolina, and then you see Pittsburgh on the back end, and I don't have to tell Canes fans what Georgia Tech has been, right? That's no treat here lately either. It just really feels like that month, if you will, that 5 weeks is really going to determine kind of what happens here.
And let's not forget Florida State. Look, I know they had a rough season last year, but that's still the rivalry, right? Those kids are going to get up for a game, right? Those FSU kids are going to get up for Miami that week. So, look, it's a challenging schedule. I know everybody's excited about Alabama, and rightfully so. I mean, when you get a chance to play the defending national champions week one, you get excited about that game. But I think from Manny Diaz's perspective and what he's trying to build here, you mentioned the young quarterbacks a while ago. This is all about getting Miami to the point where most in the ACC thought they would be, right? Which is contending every year, fighting for that division crown and having a chance to play in the ACC championship game. It's happened once, guys. One ACC championship game appearance. Clemson obliterated them. Manny Diaz really feels like going into year three, he's got the roster, he's got the returning experience at a lot of positions where, hey, you know what? There's no excuse. We got to go take care of our business on the field. And I thought last year they started to do that. They started to beat the teams that they were, quote unquote, supposed to beat, right? They started to win those games. At the end of the season, you got beat by a very good North Carolina team and then unfortunately lost the bowl game the same day you lose De'Aaron King. But, they were 8-1 up to that point, up to those last two games.
Right.
And they were rolling and having a real good season. I feel like they've got a chance to do the same thing this year if they can stay healthy.
That's a good point. I think that we always hesitate, though, right? I mean, let's be honest. We've hesitated on the Canes. And are we apprehensive to buy Pack? Maybe we are a little bit. Maybe we are just because it hasn't – like it's like Pack said, a couple months ago. If you could get Florida State, Miami, and Virginia Tech to kind of move toward where Clemson are, those brand names, that changes this subdivision of ACC football – in every way possible. And I think Diaz understands that. And it's going to be interesting to see just kind of how this year unfolds, because we're talking about huge offensive expectation, Pack.
Yeah, Mike, let's cut right to the chase with Manny. Miami needs to be good for the league. Miami needs to be good for Miami, but Miami really needs to be good for the league. And the only way you get to back to doing that is, number one, recruit well. Manny's doing that. And then all of a sudden you got opportunities. Yep. And you're going to get that in week one. And I think you're going to get it in week two and three with Appalachian State and Michigan State. Those are non-conference games of note that you just can't put all the eggs in the Alabama basket, because if it goes haywire, you don't want to get beat twice. And I think that's why that App State game is really important, because Appalachian State will be excited to see Miami, and that is a talented group. So, again, can't wait to get there, man. But we'll see you next week. Next month, we really kick this thing off here in Charlotte.
Yeah, I'm excited, man, to go out there, check it out. Thank you, guys.
All right, you bet. Manny Navarro covers the Canes for The Athletic, and a friend of the show, does a phenomenal job. We appreciate his time. And that wraps up Two-A-Days. Just like that, Pack. Just like that. We go back to Omaha when Packer and Durham continues on this Tuesday. Don't forget, we got full coverage from Charlotte Wednesday, July 21st, Thursday, July 22nd. The Coastal is Wednesday. The Atlantic is Thursday. Minute by minute, hour to hour coverage of the ACC football kickoff right here on ACC Network, streaming live on the ESPN app. Sam Heifel, former Apex Cougar, just shut the door on the doors last night in Omaha. The Wolfpack star will join us next on Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
To me, that was one of the most impressive things I think that Sam's done up to this point. Like, I'm just lost for words, honestly. I've come really close to Sam through the course of the postseason and this year. And that, like, every single day he comes and works as hard as he can and puts in the work and really, really deserves the results. And he keeps going out there and getting them every single time. It's really, like, unbelievable. Like, I just can't really explain it.
Packer and Durham. I told you we're not done with Omaha. We're going back out there one more time before we call it a show, number 412. And one of the stars last night, because NC State made great defensive plays. It took one big bat, one home run was the difference. But, man, it all starts with pitching. And Sam Heifel last night put on a show, and he joins us now this morning. Sam, first of all, I appreciate you getting up with us this morning, and congratulations. That was one great individual performance last night, but I know it's a team win, and man alive, it had to feel good. 1-0 on the good side last night for a change.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on, first of all. And yeah, 1-0 on the good side. On the flip side, like, ACC tournament was 1-0. It was good to win one this time.
Hey, Sam, what's last night? Take us through the emotions of yesterday. How do you get yourself ready? I mean, it's the College World Series. That's one thing. You guys are in a 1-0 game against the Vanderbilt team. I mean, you know, you go to 2-0. You got a real good chance to, you know, advance this thing. See it through. Oh, by the way, the other pitcher is supposed to be a top five pick. Take me through kind of how you calmed yourself down, because it didn't look like anything fazed you last night.
It's the night games are tougher for me, because I do, like, all day building up. There are some nerves, and so the day games, you know, you get up and you just go to the field. And yesterday I just sit around for a few hours in my room and played some cards, ate lunch, watched a little bit of the first game, and going up against Leiter, you know, I knew I had to be good, and I guess all it took was one run.
Yes, it did. All it took was one run. When you know you've got the opposing pitcher who he is, and he is a great pitcher. Take nothing away from him. He is a fantastic pitcher. I suspect that makes you better too, because you understand every little thing is important. You just can't give up anything to Vanderbilt.
Yeah, he is really good. he's everything that they, you know, everybody hypes him up to be. He should be one of the top 5-10 picks in the draft should be the first pitcher taken off the board. So, you know, that makes you feel like you do have to do a little bit more. But I didn't try to think about that too much, you know, just try and go out and put up 1-0 at a time.
Take me through, if you can, how the game felt, because I've had pitchers tell me in the past it's about early third, middle third. I mean, when did the comfort level kind of, okay, it's just another ball game, it's not Omaha type thing?
For me, it's the first inning is really important for me. I've had early on this year and through the middle of the season, first innings for me, it was either like I gave up a couple two spots like here and there in the first inning, and to go out and put up a zero is in the first inning is huge for me, and it calmed me down a lot last night after the first inning. You know, trying to get my legs, and I was able to go out there in the second and third inning a little bit more relaxed.
Sam, as far as this NCAA tournament run, you know, you guys had to go to Ruston, Louisiana. Rowdy, Louisiana Tech is really, really good. You beat them twice. You go to Fayetteville, one of the great baseball environments in the country, the number one team, and you had to beat Kevin Copps to do it, and you did. How did it prepare you guys for not only last night seeing Leiter and Vanderbilt, but also what you did to Stanford to lead things off? I mean, you guys jumped them from the get-go. I mean, this thing feels like it's been building. That, you know what? Ruston made sense for you guys for Fayetteville. Fayetteville made sense for you guys for Omaha. Do you guys get a sense that, you know what, we're built for this? We're built to win the whole thing.
Yeah, I do. And it's funny because all season, you know, we're playing in front of a limited capacity at the Doak and at other ACC stadiums. And then the last weekend at home, we opened up a little bit, got a few more fans, and then went to Charlotte ACC tournament, and there was a lot of fans there, probably 5,000-7,000, but those were all our fans. And then we go to Louisiana Tech, and they're rowdy. Yeah, you said it. They're crazy, and I don't know how many they fit in there, but they were crazy. And then to go to Arkansas and went in Fayetteville, the stadiums keep getting bigger and the stages keep getting bigger. It's cool.
Hey, Sam, tell us what Coach Avent's been like, because there's been a lot of stories about you guys and kind of the way he handles everything, and everybody just kind of, you know, number nine's this kind of guiding light here, but it's kind of like having your buddy be your guiding light, right? I mean, he gets after you when you need to be gotten after, but at the same time, the communal embrace is on here with you guys, it feels like.
Yeah, he's awesome, and he's a great head coach, and he's standing right here next to me.
Really? Really? Come on. No. Wheel him in here. Come on. don't let him sky away from people. Look at this. Really?
You can't ask a guy.
Unbelievable.
Like that when I'm standing right here. You want me to go outside and see what he really thinks?
No.
Unbelievable, Pack.
Let me tell you something. You need to hug your pitcher because he put on a show last night, Coach.
I hug him all the time. I hug him all year.
Hey, I just want you to know how proud one Apex High School alum is for another one last night, Elliot, because my man delivered some Cougar pride last night out in Omaha. That's all I know.
Wes, he was unbelievable. I'm telling you, Leiter was everything that they said and then some, and for Sam, knowing he had to keep us there to do that against a great Vanderbilt offense, what a great job you did.
All right, question for both of you.
Sam, I'm out of here. Talk to Sam.
Wait. You don't barge in. What? You don't get to call when you leave.
Here you go. I want to know this. You could not have scripted a better start. Now we get a couple days off. So what's the game plan today, as I'm sure you're going to watch Virginia tonight against Mississippi State? So what do we do now for the next couple days? What's the game plan?
Well, we actually rest, to be honest with you. We played nine guys for – about 3 months here. Austin Moore always likes to joke, nine guys from nine states. And we're going to rest a little bit. There's a little bit of a bug going around. Chris Hart caught it. He's been sick for like 4 or 5 days. Cam Cotter, I got it. JT Jarrett got it. There's a bug going around. So we're going to lift today, get a little bit of a practice in. We're getting ready to eat breakfast in about 20, 30 minutes. And but we're going to rest for a few days and try to get our legs back underneath us.
Yeah, you earned it.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, we look forward to seeing you on the show tomorrow at 8:45, Elliot. Thanks for being with us. Appreciate you. We'll see you in the morning at 8:45.
All right, that's my outage. Okay, bye-bye.
Yeah, see you later. All right. Sam, we'll give you this right here before we let you go, because we got to showcase this right here, because Wes told me to find this off the studio. Here we go. Make sure I get that right.
Hey, Sam, that's from the mid-'80s, Sam. That's old mid-'80s Apex High School letters right there.
That's awesome. Go Cougars.
There you go.
Cougars.
Before we let you go, though, during your time so far at NC State, what's been your hardest class?
Oh, my gosh. I took Spanish for the first time this spring. That was tough. Spanish and accounting, yeah.
Okay.
Hey, all you got to do is you keep pitching like you did last night and go, nada, 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 nada. That's all you got to do, my man. That's all you got to do.
Hey, Pat, uh-oh. Let me say one more thing.
Oh, here he comes.
Well, wait a second.
Hey, I got one more thing to say. Sam was just more nervous in front of you and Wes than he was in front of 23,000 people last night. That's all I got to say.
Elliot Avent.
Hey,
back
Sam.
For more.
Sam. Sam, yeah. We're easy, okay? We're just, you know, just hanging out. That's all we're doing. Hey, congratulations on a great game. Fun to watch last night. Everybody in the league proud of you guys. Keep it going. Enjoy a couple days off, and we look forward to seeing you back on the bump in Omaha before it's over, okay?
Thank you. Thank you guys for having me.
You got it.
You bet. Sam Heifel, he delivered the goods last night for the Wolfpack. Then Evan Justice shut it down. NC State's 2-0. Virginia's hoping to go there tonight. We will give you one stat on the Cavaliers and the Bulldogs and more. How about Elliot Avent, by the way, breaking up the interview? Yeah. Stunner, right?
It's great. Rooting for him.
Yeah.
Easy guy to root for.
All right. Sit tight. Yep. Absolutely. Easy guy to root for. When we come back, we've got some basketball news. And it's good news, Pat. We got some good ACC news.
Finally.
For hoops. When we come back. And somebody's coming back for Hubert Davis back after this.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham. A little dog walking music for you right before 10 a.m. And
yeah.
We've got some breaking news, some Packer and Durham breaking news before we're out of here today. Breaking news.
All right, let's get to the news items first, please. Real quick, yesterday afternoon, North Carolina announced that rising junior center Armando Bacot, or would he be a sophomore? I don't know, whatever.
He's
Armando
back.
Bacot. Is coming back for his third year in Chapel Hill. How's that? 12.5 points, 8 rebounds a year ago. He did test the NBA waters, is elected to come back for his junior season. That's a win for the ACC, and in particular, Hubert Davis.
Just refreshing to see somebody decide, hey, you know what, college is cool. Let's go back. I'm just glad to hear that news
back and
for
play
a change.
Some ball.
Right. That's the best news right there.
Yep. So, good to see Armando Bacot coming back to play for the Tar Heels next winter in hoops. Congratulations this morning to Leah Temple Lang of Boston College's women's golf team, who just captured the 2021 AIG Women's Amateur Championship at Ballybunion in County Kerry.
Nice.
Having played the old Ballybunion course, I can tell you that's a test of golf, Pac. Match play event. Defeated Molly O'Hara on the 20th hole.
Nice.
So there you go.
Congrats.
Congratulations to Leah Temple Lang. Great show today. Grace Rayner, Manny Navarro from The Athletic with Clemson and Miami coverage. Help us shut down our two-a-days. Dan Murphy on the Austin versus NCAA decision. Jeff Gravely live from Omaha. Kelsey Riggs live from Omaha. Sam Heifel with his aide-de-camp, Elliot Avent, live from Omaha. All joined us here on the program today. More coverage of the College World Series coming up tomorrow. Virginia, Mississippi State is tonight at 7 on ESPN2. By the way, you can get the coverage with Carl Ravitch, Eduardo Perez, and Kyle Peterson over there. Tomorrow's show, apparently Elliot Avent, we'll see. Frank Cignetti Jr. is the offensive coordinator at Boston College. Actually looking forward to visiting with him. Remember, he was involved early with Philip Rivers in his career at NC State. Now he's got Phil Jurkovec at Boston College, among other lists of great quarterbacks. And, Pack, tomorrow on this show at 9:30, Justin Fuente.
It's 413 Packer and Durham's
shows,
and
I'm
finally making an appearance. I am so pumped for my man Fu to make his debut. Let me emphasize, his debut on the show. Now, I know we were going to see him a month from now in Charlotte at the kickoff, but we've been waiting on Justin Fuente on this show from day one. Today is show 412. Tomorrow is 413. And tomorrow, Justin Fuente makes his debut, and I cannot wait to talk to Coach. Can't wait. Hokey, hokey, hokey high. Mrs. P's going to be excited. She's a hokey. I'm going to finally be able to go upstairs and say, guess what, Mrs. P? Your coach is going to be on the show tomorrow. That is going to be great. And I hope tonight, by the way, since that's some Virginia Tech love,
yeah,
I would love to see the Hoos tonight, right? I mean, if we're rolling in here tomorrow with Virginia
you
and
NC
State.
You will be uncontrollable at 2-0. At 2-0, you'll
be uncontrollable. It's phenomenal. You kidding?
I know.
To get to 2-0, a pair of them. By the way, Virginia is 9-4. Virginia is 9-4 against the Southeastern Conference in their last three College World Series. And we talked about NC State. They've been a nightmare for the Southeastern Conference. They've beaten Alabama. They eliminated Arkansas. What they did to Vanderbilt last night. Life is good. NC State's been on a good run here. And here's Virginia. Already shut out Tennessee. They get Mississippi State tonight. I just gave the number, 9-4 against the SEC in their last three College World Series. So the league that's got two unseeded teams has a chance to make some serious noise tonight. But it will be a tough game because Mississippi State is the real deal. They are really good, too. It's going to be great.
Congratulations to the Wolfpack again. Terrell Tatum's home run, the difference in a 1-0 game. Great college baseball game last night. We hope for some of the same tonight with Virginia and Mississippi State. Well, we got ourselves a full program today, and we got another one for you tomorrow. Can't do this without Drew Brooks and Josh Macri and Chrissy Velez and all the great people. Hank and Matt on the back bench. We got Ezzy in the bunker today, I think, with radio. Every once in a while we get Mikey C. Oh, we got Mikey C. on loan from Marty and McGee. We got Mikey C. because he realized the ACC was winning, so he bailed on Marty and McGee. Came over on the loan today, Pack.
Texas, Tennessee, let's go about 17 innings today. Be perfect for radio on SiriusXM 84. 17 innings.
See you tomorrow at 7. Be well.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.